Welcome, everyone. Christian Politi-Talk. I'm Michael. I'm one of your hosts. I'm here with my always and forever sidekick,
Mary Beth.
Oh, you're Mary tonight?
Yes.
All right. So starting off tonight, Miss Mary Beth, we got a scripture for tonight.
We do.
What is it?
This one is entitled Legitimate Pleasures. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." That comes from John 5:25-27. This passage begins with the words, "most assuredly." There are a few things in life that we can really be sure of, but this is one. The hour will come when every dead person will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. We have already heard it and have trusted in his mercy, but there are multitudes who will hear it and come under his judgment. Those who hear his voice will now live. Those who hear it then will be damned. There are no words to express the terror of such a day. How can we waste our precious time pursuing our own pleasures when we know what is coming to this world? Many of our pleasures are legitimate and good. Chatting with friends and family around a swimming pool is a wonderful pleasure, but not while a child is drowning in the pool. May God help us to order our priorities. Is there a sense of urgency in my heart? Do I see today as a day to spend on myself or as a possible occasion to reach someone who is lost? Keep your eyes open today and look for a divine opportunity. Father, deepen my love for you and for the lost.
It's very interesting. Scriptures, given what we're talking about.
That was the scripture from my birthday.
Yes, yes, yes. So tonight, we continue the study of Revelation, and we're in Revelation 7. Getting started, moving forward. Today's Christians are spreading the word throughout the world by shortwave radio, television, and the internet, just like we are tonight. The Bible has been translated into more than half of the known languages in the world, and it will be available in every language of every nation in just a few short years. The world has repeatedly heard the message of salvation, and yet, following the rapture, there will be multitudes who have rejected the Bible and its message. Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come." Matthew 24:14. Everyone will hear his message and have the opportunity to accept salvation before they die or take the mark of the beast. God's judgments will fall like mighty bombs dropping to the earth, but his glorious grace will still emerge. So as we move into 7:1, hold back the wind is something to remember. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind would not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. After the first six seals are opened, four angels will stand at the earth's four corners to prevent any wind from blowing. This does not mean the earth will become square. It's simply a symbolic expression, meaning the angels will be standing at the four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. They will control the winds of the earth. Without these angels, the airborne plagues from the previous seals would spread around the world. The Bible clearly teaches that God controls all things. He controls the good winds, the bad, the trade winds, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and everything else. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. He causes vapors to ascend to the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Psalms 135, 6 and 7. He does it for a reason. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire, hail, snow, and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Psalm 148, 7 and 8. The angel from the east is something to remember for 7, verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was gained to harm the earth and the sea. Christians have always believed in angels, and it would be impossible to believe the Bible without believing in angels. They play a prominent role in God's plan for mankind. This is especially true of the stories about Jesus and the judgments of Revelation. Angels are divided into two different categories or ranks. Some rank higher than others, and some serve Satan and not God. We do not know who this angel in the east is, but we do know that he will have the authority over the four angels. The four angels will have the power to do harm. Will have the power to harm the earth and the sea. But just before they unleash their great power, the angel from the east will intercede with a loud voice and stop them. He will have the seal of the living God in his hand, and it will be used to mark a group of special messengers. The mark of God is something to remember for Revelation 7:3. Saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. The four angels will be commanded to hold back their destructive forces until God's servants can be sealed. Nothing will happen to the land, sea, or trees until the special messages are, you know, the special messengers are protected. The Bible does not say what this seal will be. We're only told that these believers will be protected by some type of special mark. Since the beginning of creation, God has created, you know, and God has been marking his people. God's mark will be placed on their foreheads. It will be an actual mark that will show others that these are God's people. In Revelation 7:4 through 8, 144,000 is something to remember. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribes of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 tribes were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. What this is saying is God will seal 144,000 of his servants. They will not come from the church of any particular denomination. Instead, all 144,000 will come from the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews. The list of tribes is unusual in that two of the original 12 tribes of Israel, Dan and Ephraim, will be left out. Most experts believe these two tribes will be skipped because they were both guilty of idolatry, thus disqualifying them from the special, you know, from them serving as special servants of God. Some even believe the false prophet mentioned in chapter 5 will come from the tribe of Dan. The tribes of Levi and Joseph will be added to make the 12 marked tribes of the tribulation period. As the tribe of priests, Levi will not be counted among the original 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Joseph was not one of the original 12. Joseph was Ephraim's father, and it looks like he will replace his idolatrous son. For years, some commentators have talked about 10 missing tribes, said Israel no longer has 12 tribes, but they don't say much about this today. Israeli researchers are using DNA to identify the tribe some Jews belong to. Jews from every tribe have been found. Researchers can't determine which tribe every Jew is from because of centuries of intermarriage, but they can determine which tribe roughly one-third of Jews are from. And don't overlook the grace of God here. He will call these Jews and supernaturally protect them from the Antichrist and his followers for the primary purpose of winning multitudes to Jesus. Even though these verses are clear and straightforward, some people still want to spiritualize them. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, believe this refers to 144,000 of their members. However, this verse clearly states that the 144,000 will come from the 12 tribes of Israel, which excludes all Gentiles. It's best to ignore the mental gymnastics and accept the literal interpretation of this. In Revelation 7:9, listen to the gospel is something to remember. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Once God has sealed his 144,000, the whole world will hear his message. Multitudes will believe and be saved. The Antichrist and his false prophet will be furious and try to stop the revival by forcing new believers to turn away from faith. They will deny people food and medicine. Executions will be frequent and numerous. The number of martyrs will be more than any man can count. These martyrs will be given white robes symbolizing the righteousness of Jesus. They will also receive palm branches symbolizing the triumphal entry into heaven. You may remember Jesus was also given palm branches when he entered the city of Jerusalem before his death.
Sure was.
You get that he was. He came in and they were laying down palm branches.
Palm Sunday.
Yep, when he rode on the donkey coming in. The martyrs will stand in the presence of Jesus before the throne of God. Here the scriptures give an important clue as to what deceased believers are like before they are raised from the dead. Even though these saints haven't yet been raised, they are not ghosts or vapors. They have some type of material or substance. John could see them. He could tell they come from different nationalities and races. He could hear them. They wore white robes, and they had hands that could hold palm branches. Even though the soul and spirit of a Christian leave their body, people will still be able to identify them. This is further evidence that the believer's knowledge will be greatly improved in heaven. Revelation 7:10, one choice, is something to remember. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is a great worship service of victory and rejoicing. whose central theme is salvation. The glory of salvation that belongs to God and His Son, Jesus. God is the authority of salvation and has narrowed the way to heaven down to one, the Lamb of God. Revelation 7:11, worship before the throne, is something to remember. All of the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. This may well be the greatest worship service ever. When the multitude of the tribulation saints stand before the throne, praising and glorifying the Father and the Son, all of the angels of heaven will join in, followed by the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Notice all the different groups, the tribulation saints, the 24 elders representing the church, the angels, and the four living creatures. Everyone in heaven will participate in this service. In Revelation 7:12, sevenfold worship is something to remember. Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God and ever. Amen. Amen indicates that the angels will agree with the tribulation saints. Salvation belongs to God and His Son, and they deserve the credit for getting this great multitude to heaven. Then the angels will break forth with a sevenfold declaration of worship, blessing glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, power, and might all belongs to God forever and ever. In Revelation 7:13, two questions is something to remember. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? One of the 24 elders will ask two questions. Who are they, and where did they come from? He already knows the answer, but he will ask them anyway to make sure everyone else does. Now, Tim LaHaye, who's a Christian author, you know, had something to say about this entire, you know, the tribulation saints. These tribulation saints constitute a distinctive category, just as the church and Israel or Old Testament saints form a special company. Each group has its own relationship to Christ. Depending on the period of time in which these individuals were converted, that these are believers, and unquestionable in view of the fact that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 7:14, the blood of the Lamb is something to remember. And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, this great multitude before the throne of God will come out of the tribulation period. They will be saved people, people clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, people who trusted in the shed blood of the Lamb. Some say the church will convert the world, but Daniel talked about this time when the Antichrist will dominate the saints. You can find that in Daniel 7:25. Jesus talked about a time of tribulation when the saints will be killed. Matthew 24:9 and 21 and 22. Paul talked about the time when the Antichrist will oppose everyone who worships God. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. And here John confirms what they said. The elder's answer tells us what the 144,000 will be preaching. They will preach the blood of the Lamb. The fact that these 144,000 are Israelites will not alter their message. When most prophecy experts talk about the Great Tribulation, they are talking about the last 3 1/2 of the 7-year period. But in this verse, the term refers to all who have come out of the entire 7-year tribulation period. Suddenly is something to remember for Revelation 7:15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. This is a very special promise. On earth, the saved will not be safe anywhere. They will either starve, die of disease, or be murdered. There will be no way to escape the clutches of the Antichrist. Suddenly, they will find themselves in the throne room of God, face to face with Jesus, surrounded by angels, clothed in white robes, and protected by God. Revelation 7:16, a covering of protection. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. You see, the tribulation saints will face hunger, thirst, death from starvation and poison water, burning by blazing sun and suffocation by scorching heat. Once they arrive in heaven, though, it will never happen again. They will be in the fortress, a refuge of the Almighty God, and is a place of constant protection that cannot be breached. God promises in heaven, we will never suffer again. This is God's promise. In Revelation 7:17, no more tears is something to remember. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What this is saying is that the Lamb who stands in the midst of the throne of God will persevere. You know, it will also preserve the tribulation saints. He will feed the saints from the tree of life. He will let them drink from the fountains of living water. This also tells that the saints are destined for a great deal of weeping before they depart this earth. They will face incredibly harsh living conditions, terrorizing circumstances, and the loss of loved ones. Their tears will have a reason to fall. But when they get to heaven, God will wipe them away. So that wraps up chapter 7, and what we're going to do now is go ahead and move into Revelation 8. And chapter 6 described the opening of the first 6 seals, but it ended before reaching the 7th seal. Chapter 7 covered the sealing of the 144,000, but likewise failed to mention the 7th seal. It is not until now in chapter 8 when we learn about this final seal. The opening of the 7th seal reveals the appearance of 7 angels with 7 trumpets. Note, you know, the pattern being established, the 7 seals were broken down into 2 sets, the 4 horsemen followed by the 3 additional judgments. Likewise, the 7 trumpets will be broken down into 2 sets. 4 judgments called 1/3, judgments followed by 3 judgments called woes, and 1/2 hour of silence in heaven. These judgments will take place on earth. So the 7th seal is something to remember in Revelation 8:1. When he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. See, when the seal is broken, the scroll will be completely open. Nothing will remain to restrain the carrying out of the remaining judgments before they can begin, though there will be silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. the flashes of lightning rumbling, the peals of thunder coming from the throne of God, it will completely cease. The four living creatures will cease to talk about the holiness of God. The 24 elders will suspend their declarations about the worthiness of the Lamb. The heavenly hosts will stop singing, and the tribulation saints will cease their praise. An eerie forebodying silence will move across heaven. Everyone will wait in anticipation of what is to come next. Will people be given time to repent? Will God destroy the earth? Something on the horizon, something of tremendous importance. Revelation 8:2, seven archangels is something to remember. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So what this is saying, the tribulation period carries many names. The time of Jacob's trouble, the seventh week of Daniel, the day of the Lord's vengeance. The prophet Zephaniah gives it seven different names. And it is significant to notice that the last one is a day of trumpet and alarm. Zephaniah 1:14-16. Out of all the angels in heaven, only seven particular angels constantly stand out in the presence of God. They are most commonly known as archangels, but some call them the angels of presence. The 1611 King James Version Bible identifies only two, Michael and Gabriel. But the Acrophoria, non-canonical books that are usually omitted, you know, from Protestant Bibles, identify the other five as Uriel, Raphael, Raguel, Remiel, and Sariel. These seven archangels who will make announcements of great significance will each be handed a trumpet on this day. A trumpet and battle cry. Notice that these angels that receive the trumpets in heaven as they stand before the throne of God and Jesus, God will judge the earth, but not without purpose. Society can't expect God to ignore the persecution and death of the saints on earth. Society can't expect him to be unoffended by the blasphemy of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Society can't expect him to delay his answer to the prayers of the righteous forever. Paul said it, you know, it is a righteous thing for God to repay those who harm people. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-8. Revelation 8:3, an eighth angel, is something to remember. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Even though this eighth angel is not identified, some experts believe he is Jesus. He could not be Jesus, but is probably just another powerful angel. We do know that this angel holds a special position of service before the golden altar of God. This golden censer is similar to the one used in the Old Testament, the Jewish temple. It contained charcoal that was burned under a layer of incense. When the hot charcoal warmed the layer of incense, a sweet fragrance was produced. This fragrance or aroma maybe the spice frankincense, one of the gifts of the wise men gave to the baby Jesus. Frankincense was also one of the spices burned in the censer at the Jewish temple. Its fragrance reminds God of his Son who came and died for the sins of the world. The eighth angel will come with a golden censer and stand before the altar of God. He will be given great quantity of incense to mix with the prayers of the saints. Then he will place the censer on the golden altar before the throne of God. In Revelation 8:4, no other choice is something to remember. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Revelation 8:3 told us that the eighth angel will be given the prayers of all the saints. We may never know what all those requests may be, but Revelation 6:10 identifies one of them as the prayer of the tribulation saints. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Judgment is not God's first choice, but patience is. He is patient and will hold off his judgment longer than any man. Nevertheless, when all options fail, his judgment will fall. The angel will take the censer containing the hot incense and the prayers of the saints and wave it around, causing the smoke to drift toward the throne of God. The Almighty God will smell the incense, hear the prayer, and prepare an answer. So in Revelation 8:5, answered prayers is something to remember. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So when the incense and all the prayers of the saints have been consumed in the censer, the angel will take the empty censer, go back to the altar, fill it with fire, and hurl it down to earth. The prayers will go up to God, and the answers will come down to earth. God will avenge the death of the tribulation saints with fiery trials on earth. You know, try to visualize this. The Antichrist and the false prophet will rise to power, leading the inhabitants of the earth to worship Satan, while at the same time, God's people will be hunted down, persecuted, and killed. These martyred saints will arrive in heaven, praying to be avenged. At first, they will be told to wait until the number of saved is increased. But then, after a brief time, God will hear their prayers and respond by having his angel hurl the burning censer, possibly in the form of a meteor, to earth. This will be a clear statement of God's wrath. It will be followed by loud thunderclaps, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The earnest prayers of God's hurting people will finally reach into his wrath and cause a response that will be felt by the whole earth. Revelation 8:6. Thus it begins as something to remember. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Once the burning censer has hit the earth, the archangels will prepare to sound their trumpets. The prayers of the saints will be heard, and the whole world will be ripe for judgment. God's wrath will be kindled to unleash the next set of judgments, and the archangels will prepare to sound the alarm. Revelation 8:7, destruction of the earth, is something to remember. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Some Bible experts would not accept a literal fulfillment of this verse. However, prophecy experts have little difficulty in believing this will happen. The seventh plague on Egypt in the days of Moses was a rain of grievous hail mixed with fire that smote the cattle, herbs, trees. It was a plague directed against Egypt's false goddess, Isis. God also rained hail, fire, and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. There is no reason to believe he will not do it again. The result of hellfire and blood being hurtled down upon one third of the earth in a furious storm is almost unimaginable. Not only will it cause immediate and indescribable destruction, it will also bring many other terrible consequences. Much of the lumber needed to build houses will be gone, along with much of the grain used for food. The entire balance of nature will be upset, and the loss of life will be horrendous. Still, to not recognize the grace of God would be a mistake, for along with his great wrath that will burn one third of the earth, there will flow an ocean of love to allow two thirds of the earth more time. So let's discuss the seven trumpets. The first trumpet, hail, fire, and blood, one third of the plants burned. The second trumpet, like a burning mountain, one third of the sea, ships, fish will be affected. The third, burning star of wormwood, one third of the fresh water will be polluted. The fourth trumpet, heavenly body struck, one third of the sun and the moon and the stars darkened. The fifth trumpet, the first woe, Satan opens pit, demon-possessed locust released. The sixth trumpet is the second woe judgment, four fallen angels, fire, smoke, and brimstone, a third of the world dies. The seventh and final trumpet is the third woe, seven bowls. So that's seven bowl judgments. In Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9, destruction of the sea. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The first trumpet will signal judgment upon the earth. This trumpet will signal judgment upon the sea. It reminds us of the first plague on Egypt in the days of Moses, which turned the waters into blood. It was a plague directed against Egypt's false goddess, Hika, that killed fish and frogs and made the water unfit for consumption. Now pay close attention to the wording in this verse. It does not say a burning mountain will be thrown into the sea. It says something like a great burning mountain will be thrown into the sea. Some think it will be a nuclear missile. Others think it will be a burning meteor. Whatever it is, it will be big, blazing, and cause the sea to turn into blood. It will kill one third of the sea life and destroy one third of the ships and those who depend upon the sea for jobs, food, defense, or cargo transport will suffer. As a result of this mountain hitting the sea, it is likely that everything close to the sea will probably be damaged or destroyed by a great tidal wave. In Revelation 8, 10, and 11, wormwood is something to remember. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and a third of the spring waters. The name of the star is wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Some believe this star blazing like a torch will be a meteor. Others suggest a missile. While they hold different opinions about what it is, they usually agree about what it will do. The great blazing object containing some type of pollutant or poisonous substance will fall out of the sky and it will be named after a bitter herb called wormwood. It will contaminate one-third of the Earth's fresh water supply, causing many people to die from drinking the tainted water. Although the Bible does not say it, it is reasonable to assume that many will die from thirst. With one-third of the fresh water tainted, most people will be unable to obtain drinkable water before extreme thirst sets in. Adults will survive without water for about 3 days, while the sick and infants will have fewer. Why, in the days of Jeremiah, God said, "I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall"? For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Jeremiah 23:15. The prophets of Jerusalem should have been decrying evil by giving out pure water of the word, but they were catering to the morally corrupt by giving out the poison water of false doctrines. Hence, God judged them. Revelation 8:12, lights out, is something to remember. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. The fourth trumpet judgment will affect the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Pagan religions worship these objects. Astrologers, fortune tellers, and witches rely on them to predict the future. A few bizarre interpretations of this judgment exist, but generally accept the meaning that is the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars will be diminished by one-third. We can be sure that the smoke from the burning of one-third of the earth will block out a lot of the light from the sun, the moon, and the stars. Nuclear winter brought on by smoke, dirt, and debris, you know, being hurtled into the atmosphere is also a possibility. How long will this continue? It's not said, but there is no question that a reduction of the Earth's sunlight will affect the weather, crops, and all of life in general. Major winter storms will sweep the Earth, causing multitudes to freeze to death. In Revelation 8:13, trumpet woes is something to remember. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Who or what is this angel? Some say it will be the raptured church. Others say it will be an eagle. One thing for sure, if God could make Balaam's donkey talk, he can make an eagle talk. This angel will fly through the air, pronouncing three woes upon the inhabitants of the earth. These three woes correspond to the last three trumpets. Some even call them the trumpet woes. It's hard to imagine, but these woes will be worse than any judgment previously mentioned. You know, as we think about this tonight, and, you know, ending up with chapter 8, you know, the reason for starting this show was to try to help people make sense of all the politics in this world right now and things that are going on, and try to find what God is telling us about what's going on in the world. Everybody knows the story. Everybody's read the Bible. We all know in the end, God wins, Satan loses. But it's important for us to understand what are in these pages, especially in Revelation, because this is telling us of things that are to come. We're still living in the church age right now, and we will continue to be in the church age until the rapture. what can you do as a Christian in the short game, which is today and in the weeks and years to come, instead of focusing on the long hand, what can you do to help impact the world that's going on around you? And it's important to remember that there are people out there who still, you know, have only been born once, and they're going to die twice. The Bible says if a man is born once, he will die twice. He will die two deaths, the physical death, then the spiritual death. But if a man is born twice, he will only die once. He will die a physical death here on earth and spend eternity in heaven. How do we get there? We know that we talked about earlier in Revelations about being baptized, but being baptized and being born again are two completely different things. The prayer of salvation and your personal relationship with Christ is the most important thing. And, you know, many that have not prayed the prayer of salvation, you don't have to do it in a church. You don't have to do it in front of many, many people. You know, the road, and I tell people that the way to get on the road to Christ is the road of Romans. You know, read the book of Romans. The first thing that a person must do when they're coming to salvation is admit they are a sinner. And then you can find that in Romans 3:10. You must be willing to turn from your sin, and this is what the word repent means. And you can find that in the book of Acts 17:30. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for everyone's sins. You can find that in Romans 10:9-10. And you must pray to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And you can find that in Romans 10:13. And maybe you're listening tonight, or maybe you're listening to a broadcast of this show, and you've never repented. You've never prayed the salvation prayer. You know, there's a simple prayer that you can say, and say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, you just had that second birth. So you're assured, just as the Bible tells us, that you will die of this world, but you will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, and you will be part of that millennial kingdom that is to come, that we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. All of these episodes are available in podcasts, and, you know, we invite you to listen to all of them. And remember, being born again doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to walk through life and not have any problems, because we were promised that, you know, life will not be perfect for us here in this world. So you need to remember, pray for everyone around you. Remember also, the Bible commands that we pray for our government. We may not agree with everything that's going on, but the Bible commands that you pray for your government. And my earnest prayer every day is for the Lord to make himself real to them, to reveal himself, and to come into their heart and work on them and help them to maintain a better relationship and to make good decisions for everyone. We certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. We hope that you will join us again next Thursday night. That's our regular night at 8 p.m. Share this with your friends. Tell them where we are. You know, tell them to listen. We're going to go. This is going to take as long as it's going to take for us to go through all 22 books. But we're going to do it. All 22 chapters of Revelation. Hope you have a great week. Remember to pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We certainly appreciate you joining us. Everyone have a great evening.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth.
You got the chicken flesh.